This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Hope you had a great weekend. Not a great weekend for our Braves, as Mike and I were talking about to start the show. Plenty more Braves conversation coming your way, but we're not going to win a lot of series, guys, when we score 7 runs in 4 games.
Yeah, there's been some moves with the baseball team in the roster. We'll get into that as well, because a pitcher that nobody wanted and wasn't very good has been DFA'd. Adios, amigo. Hector!
Yeah. Get him out of here.
Hey, adios, pal. So, but we bring back Chavez. You can't kill. The only thing you can kill Chavez is Chavez. What is this? Chavez 8.0 with the Braves, by the way?
At least.
I think he's either 7th or 8th time he's with the team. 7th. But we'll get into all that. But a lot of guys over the weekend, and I bet you, because you did the national show as well, I don't know what people are talking about, but this Cousins and the Aaron Rodgers dynamic with Kirk Cousins, it's like almost like they're affecting both.
Each other.
It's almost like, yes, yeah. It's Aaron Rodgers has to blank or get off the pot, because if he doesn't make a decision, all of a sudden we have some maybe leverage to get a trade before the draft.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation, Mike. I'm on in Cleveland, and I'll tell you that I get a lot of calls from Cleveland, and they are mixed about this. Problem is, they need a quarterback. And it's funny you bring this up, because Jimmy Haslam today, this is the owner of the Browns. And for those who don't know, the annual coaches meetings are going on. Okay, so this is where all the coaches get together. Right. The league is there. Lots of owners are there, obviously. But Jimmy Haslam came out today and said that the team's trade for Deshaun Watson, which you have digested or talked about ad nauseum, as we were involved in that, by the way, and we didn't get him. Thank God. But Deshaun Watson's deal, and this is Haslam, quote, "We took a big swing and miss with Deshaun. We thought we had the quarterback." And basically he's owning that this is a huge mistake. Now, they still owe him a lot of money. So what I'm getting, or at least what I've heard, is, look, we know we need a quarterback. Most Cleveland Brown fans are like, let's go get a guy in the draft. We got the 2nd overall pick. And then part of the other argument is, well, does Cleveland trust these guys that are going to be there early in the draft, or would they rather just go get a veteran like a Kirk Cousins? Does Kevin Stefanski know, hey, is my job on the line? If we don't get this right, we just paid Myles Garrett. I need a guy I can trust. I'd rather go with a Kirk Cousins, which is why these trade rumors are out there. So I don't know, Mike. It's a mixed bag right now, but there's a lot of conversation about it.
Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm always reading, mock drafts, whether it's from NFL Network or ESPN. Bill Barnwell, who's a pretty good guy, right, in football, right?
He's
pretty sharp. He does a mock draft, and he basically has the Falcons and the Titans and everybody in play. He said basically the Tennessee Titans getting Kirk Cousins in a trade from the Falcons.
So where are we picking?
Well, that's just it. What's in it for us?
Where are we picking?
We get a 7th round pick from the Titans. The Titans get a 2nd round pick from the Browns. That's your draft pick.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins from the Falcons with cash considerations, and we would get a basically 7th round pick and a little bit of coin to get him off the books. That's the best. And again, do you even care about the draft pick?
No.
We had a vision of a 3rd or a 4th. It seems like that's a pipe dream.
Yeah, I don't want another 7th. We got 2 7ths already. I don't want another 7th. But, I mean, look, this is what has to be figured out between now and the draft, and why Mike is talking about it. It's a big deal. And the Aaron Rodgers thing, we asked Brian McFadden this on Friday at Twin Peaks. Thanks for everybody that came by. I said, what happens with the Steelers if Rodgers is like, look, I'm going to chill? because he may be waiting for a catastrophic injury as the season plays out and then wants to go to that team. The problem, Mike, is if you play that strategy, who's to say that team is not a playoff team? You're really rolling the dice with, I'll wait to see how things shake out. And then you're choosing a team that may not even be in the playoff hunt. That's how you want to end your career?
Well, the other thing is, you know, if I can have a seventh rounder or perhaps maybe get somebody over a barrel and it becomes a third or a fourth rounder in 26, should I play the long game with Kirk Cousins? Something you've been saying all along.
Yep.
You know, with this team, you know, and just basically assuming or hoping that somebody's going to come with cap in hand and you'll have some leverage to get a quarterback before their roster, before camp opens up. Just real quick, this is an ESPN. I don't think it's behind a paywall. Barnwell basically says that we would eat $25 million. And that Tennessee would pay $12 million to get Kirk Cousins off the books and give us a seventh rounder.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Correct.
So you get something, and you get something in return. That may not sound ideal to a lot of Falcon fans, but the point is, you've got to get resolution.
Well, Chris just said in my ear, it sounds awful. He said, Falcons would get a day three pick, which would seem generous since they have clearly no use for Cousins.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. When you have no leverage, you can say all the things about being willing to take him to your roster and have him on your team, but no one's buying it.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's get to 4th and 1. It's here! It's here! The new annual pitcher with all the coaches is here! And there was one guy that wasn't in it.
So what happened?
Plane ran into some weather issues.
Okay.
Listen, it's easy to clown and make fun when our guy is not there and you say, well, wait a minute, why is the Falcons head coach Raheem Morris not in this picture? Pictures out there on social media, you guys can see it. Right. They do this every year. And it's actually a cool picture.
Andy Reid usually wears a big Hawaiian shirt. Big Tommy. I mean, the fabric for that. Tommy Bahamas is out of fabric by the time Andy Reid gets that shirt.
But Mike, it's cool because you know what? It changes every year.
Right.
This picture does not look the same. This is not your class picture from 9th grade to 12th grade, and you got the same people in it, and those are the folks you graduated with. Every year this picture changes, but there are some guys that, like, in the front. McVay's been there a long time. Reed. You know, you start to look at some of these coaches. Obviously, Belichick was in this picture for years, right, for 20 years.
Right.
But Raheem wasn't there. Ran into some issues, not him, it was the flight. And sometimes, guys, that happens. You know, when you get delayed, so it wasn't necessarily his issue, but he is there. And there's a lot going on with these coaches' meetings as far as just conversations. They're talking about the tush push. Pittsburgh Steelers coach Mike Tomlin was asked about Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He said, look, we're doing all the research. We're still not, you know, done with this conversation, but you know, we're moving on as far as where we are with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron knows the Steelers want him. Mike, he's just making them wait.
Yeah, and look, there's still some folks out there, and I don't know, like, if you have an insight into that cranium, you know, then give me some stock tips, because good luck. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, number one, he loves the attention. He loves the fact, like, no one, you cannot deny it, okay? An ego of that measure, he wants this attention. He loves it. I think Aaron Rodgers secretly wants to go to Minnesota.
You think
because
so?
It's a better fit. I think they're further down the road than the Steelers, even though you could argue the Steelers. See, the Steeler mystique, they live on this rep, which doesn't exist anymore. They're good enough. They're kind of in that no man's land.
Well, they make the playoffs, but they don't do anything.
Exactly. They're good enough to get there in a tough division. Give them that. But remember last year, they limped to the wire with a bunch of just bad games. I just don't think Kirk Cousins Kirk Cousins can wherever he goes. Maybe he winds up in Pittsburgh because I think Aaron Rodgers really secretly wants to go to Minnesota.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Let's hear what Todd McShay talking about the draft and the Giants and what their draft plans are. Speaking of quarterbacks, they pick third. Are they going with the quarterback?
Shador's there at 3. He's a really good player. Got a chance to develop into a really good starter in the NFL. But if you're going to do what's best for this organization and you have a head coach who can develop quarterbacks, there's a couple other guys that the grades aren't that far off on, and I can do it with Abdul Carter or with Travis Hunter.
What about the Titans keeping the first overall pick? This is what Todd McShay, draft analyst, had to say.
It's not a coincidence that Russell Wilson was signed within hours, not days, hours, that they're all there in South Florida for the workout for Cam Ward and for Miami's Pro Day. It means that they know that the Tennessee Titans aren't moving out of that number one spot.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Signs are shaking, or at least pointing that way. Listen, Tennessee has said they're in they're in business. The pick is up for sale.
Right.
I don't think they're moving.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the latest CBS sports mock draft. They've got it's chalk, man. It's Cam Ward 1 to the Titans, and then Shador Sanders goes 2 to the Browns. And then it's Abdul Carter. Let's just curiosity. Let's roll down and see what we've got here. Jalen Walker goes 9 once again. A lot of mock drafts, he goes to the Saints. You know, they took all the Saints out for dinner.
I don't like it.
I know.
I don't like it.
And this another mock draft has Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M.
Coming here.
The big fella, who dropped some weight and was a combine darling. And one thing our general manager likes is combine darlings.
He's an athlete, man.
Yeah, he's an athlete. But they've got us, for what it's worth, going 15. And then Mike Green goes to the Cardinals at 16. Mykel Williams goes 17 to the Bengals.
By the way, the coaches are voting either to keep or do away with the tush push. What do you think ultimately happens?
I got a feeling it's going to go away, and I don't like it. Like, I don't like the play, but I also don't think it's fair to – if a team does something – and it's legal in the books, right?
It is.
And other teams have got their own version of it. Buffalo obviously could not execute in the playoffs as well as what the Eagles, because the Eagles have a guy who can squat a Volkswagen and Jalen Hurts. But I just, to me, it's not the American way. You come up with a better mousetrap. Oh no, that's illegal. It's like, what was that movie? Tucker? Remember the Jeff Bridges movie? He was like the guy making the cars.
Oh yeah.
And he came up with all these great ideas, and the big three in Detroit just shut him down
every time.
Right? I mean, to me. It's aesthetically, it's ugly. It's rugby. But I just think these guys have figured it out. I'm surprised other teams haven't tried to make their own version of it. So, no, let's kill it.
All right. We'll see.
Because, especially for a team like us, what do, Carl? We always struggle in short yardage historically.
Right. That's right.
We've never been really good at the quarterback sneak, no matter who the quarterback's been. That's one of those plays I think we take one of our more athletic guys and put him under center and adapt it, but we never did.
By the way, came out over the weekend that the Jets are saying Justin Fields, Atlanta's own, is going to be QB number one. He signed a 2-year deal there. Mike, we'll see where this goes. Who knows where the Jets are going to draft as far as what they're thinking about as this draft is concerned. But Justin's going to get another chance, man, to be a starter with New York.
All right, man. You know the family. You've known him since he was in high school. Yeah. I mean, is this the place? Because the number, if you look strictly at the numbers, how much of this was Arthur Smith's conservative nature? Because if you go strictly by passing yards, he was never getting over 200 yards in Pittsburgh. Are they going to let this guy eat? Are they going to let him truly use with the athleticism, which showed its signs in Chicago, but never consistently?
Mike, it's a great point. You try to limit mistakes, but you limit the player. When you play that way and you do those things and you don't allow them to push the ball down the field, listen, I think one of the things that he has in his corner, and I'm telling you this because I know, is Aaron Glenn believes in him. Mike, you have to have people that believe in you and coaches that say, hey, this guy can get the job done. Mm-hmm. I hope Justin takes advantage of it. We'll see. Chris knows better than anybody. How good can the Jets be? I don't know. You know, we thought they were supposed to be pretty good a couple of years ago, and they had a roster and a Super Bowl caliber roster and all this stuff, and that's why Aaron went there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's that right now. As I've said, I think they got a few good players, but they still have a lot of holes. So we wish them nothing but the best. But that was interesting that they came out, and Mike, they're not clowning around. Like, this isn't going into camp. He's going to be QB number one.
I think that's kind of cool. And by the way, if you look, we were just talking about Minnesota. We just mentioned it. Kevin O'Connell, real dialogue with Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean I doubt J.J. McCarthy. I'm doing the air quotes.
What's it mean?
Well, it just means that they think a guy who's at the end of his career, albeit 28 touchdowns last year for if you want to put all the dysfunction of the Jets on him, that he brought all his receivers in and everything just didn't pan out, or Saleh was in over his head.
Well, they kept that OC too long.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he got his guy that was his, as you just said it. But O'Connell said Friday that, you got it in a good way with spinning both sides of the fence on that one, because you want to believe J.J. Eventually, J.J. McCarthy's going to say, well, you don't believe me, freaking trade me. I'll be ready to go play. They've been throwing out there, well, he's got to get in shape and all this. They just think, I think they're one. They are better quarterback play away from going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They could have won the division last year until, unfortunately, let's be honest, Darnold crapped the bed.
All right, one other thing here. We're talking NFL. We'll get into some college basketball conversation as well. Great games here in the ATL for the regional. But the NFL owners passed a resolution allowing the league to flex Sunday games to Thursday night with 21 days notice today. Okay.
Tough if you're traveling for fans.
Well, just exactly, Mike. Just one game was flexed over the past two seasons via the temporary resolution that was allowed with 28 days notice. Today's vote keeps the Thursday night football flex in the toolbox. So just so you know, and what the league is trying to do, and I get it, it's great if we're all at home, but to Mike's point, if I'm planning on going to a game and all of a sudden now you paying my change fees?
Jeff Bezos to fans, screw you. I need better TV for Amazon.
All right, we're coming back. Who do you like in the Final Four now that it's set? It's all number one seeds. And did it jack your bracket up? It's Dukes and Bell. You have coaches that you have a bias against because, one, they either didn't help your program win as much as they should have, or you just don't like them. And I've said this to Mike for years, for Tennessee fans, when Rick Barnes went to Tennessee, and he was at Texas a long time, okay? He was there a long time. He won 400 games at Texas.
Right.
I think it was 98 or 99, Mike, to like 2014. Something of that nature. Anyways.
He's a really good coach.
Regular season.
Yes.
He doesn't do jack in the tournament. He was at Providence. This is where he started. Then he got a chance to go to Clemson, was there for a few years. Then he gets a Texas job and was there forever, as Mike likes to say, stealing money because he never advanced
really
past the second round of the tournament, and he had great players. How do you have Kevin Durant, who wins every single award the year Kevin Durant is a freshman? He wins Freshman of the Year, Player of the Year, blah, 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 blah. He's killing the NCAA, and you don't even advance to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. Nevertheless, let me calm down. He goes to Tennessee. And Mike, 25, 26, 27 wins, 30 wins. It all looks great, but guess where Rick Barnes and the Vols are right now? Out of the tournament again. What did I tell you about this guy?
Yeah, I want to say they were here. Orrin might remember it was a Sweet 16 with Xavier, and Texas was here. It was at the old Georgia Dome. And I remember the same thing, thinking like, you know, it was like just really a lot of talent, amazing team. But yeah, just knew that Rick Barnes is just Barnes. It's not gonna get there. You know, and by the way, credit to Tom Izzo, but I said I irked some Michigan State fans over the weekend. On Friday, we were up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, and I said, you know, Izzo, when is he going to, you know, go get it? And it's great. And no, like, I know he's going to Springfield, first ballot Hall of Famer and all that. But still, it's like, how many more chances are you going to have opportunities to be this close to a Final Four, you know, let alone a championship? You had some good weapons on that Michigan State team.
No, listen, I think they overachieved this year. I mean, he did. But listen, give Bruce Pearl and company credit. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, let's hear from Bruce Pearl. What did you think about Broome when he left the game? Did you think he was done?
First off, I was more concerned with the hyperextension of his right knee, the way the knee went out. But then you find out it's actually the elbow. Remember, he's got the one sleeve on his leg.
Okay.
And he's got the wrap on his arm, on his elbow. But it was actually, I thought he was limping when he walked into the locker room. They got the x-ray facility at State Farm. I thought it was the knee. It's the arm.
All right. So if you missed it, their star, I'm talking about Auburn, star player, and we know there's a lot of Auburn alums here, and they had a great presence down at State Farm yesterday and even on Friday. It looked bad. And then for him to come back in, Bruce Pearl was asked about it. This is what Bruce Pearl said about it.
It was the real sweet moment. Line out was the real sweet moment. But then he comes out there, he bangs the three ball, and the whole place. You know where we're going, Tracy?
We're going to the final.
To the Final Four!
Yeah!
It was a Willis Reed moment, Mike.
Yeah, John I. Broome, and if you didn't see his parents, his dad, by the way, he had the sweat towel. He knows what it's like.
Yep.
You know, you're gonna be and the shades on. My buddy Greg's at Auburn alum. We were watching yesterday, waiting for the rain that never came. So watching outdoors, and I just thought it was kind of like we were like not to be, you know, morbid, but it's like, man, they kept showing it. Have you seen the injury? Let's show it one more time.
Oh.
It's like Reagan getting shot. They showed it like five times in a row.
We have another angle.
And every time I was like, yeah, you see, I was looking at the leg, not the elbow.
Here's Broome talking about being ready for next week's Final Four in San Antonio.
Will you be ready to go next week?
I will be, but all glory to God.
All right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
He's such a likable dude. He's 22. And, you know, it's funny because we had a lot of, like, talking heads and comments. You and I were talking about this last week. Oh, the NCAA, the Cinderella story. Cinderellas are nice to a point. And I got to get now, I don't know how many of these guys you feel are going to be NBA stars.
Mm.
A lot of these guys look like late first rounders. You know, so you could argue that Duke's got the guys. So Duke is still the factor that's going to put guys in the lottery, right?
I do agree.
But
with
a lot
that.
Of these, but it still makes you, I think it makes you better basketball, at least for the tournament.
Yeah. Look, as we talked about, Houston and their style of play is what makes them so deadly, right? Mm-hmm. But when you talk about, yes, star power and guys that are just going to shine in the league, like Cooper Flagg, Broome could be in the league, but Mike, here's my issue with
Broome. He's going to be a role player.
Yes, he's not an above-the-rim kind of high-flying guy, and yeah, he can shoot, but, you know, he has his limitations when you start talking about the NBA, right? I mean, I agree with you on that. Let's hear from a guy that was a big part of what Houston was able to do, Emmanuel Sharpe, and why he got or how he got hot late in this game. Houston held the Vols to 50 stinking points in this game. 15.
I don't know. Coach Kellen, he said somebody's about to step up and make a big shot. He said, I got to be fearless. You know, the rest of the guys, you know, we all play fearless. LJ, Milos, Joe, Malik. That big shot Malik got hit in the head, almost had a concussion. He came out here and balled out. We love him.
Yeah, man. Look, there were many years that program was down after Phi Slamma Jamma. Mm. And Calvin Sampson, Mike, you said it, has revitalized that program. They are legit, and they've got as good a shot as anybody to win it. Guys, I like Duke to win it. And speaking of Duke, can we hear them winning the final? This is the final call. Duke wins 85-65. Mike, I'm talking about total dominance in their win. So we got the four number ones, guys, going to the Final Four. Auburn, the number one overall seed, Duke, Houston, and Florida. By the way, what's your brackets look like real quick? What's your brackets?
Oh, shot. Gone. Yeah. I try to be cute and have a little fun with it. I did have Houston, though. I had Houston playing St. John's in the championship.
Okay. Well.
It could be Florida against Houston.
Yeah, instead. Let's hear Duke in the final call here.
In just the third year after Coach K, Duke is returning to basketball's biggest stage. He won an NCAA title as a player. He won an NCAA title as an assistant. And now John Shire is bringing this Duke team to the Final Four as the head coach. 85-65, the final here in Newark. Duke advances to the Final Four.
And now the wonder and the argument is going to be, and the style makes the fight, you said it, this great stifling Houston defense trying to stop Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the show.
Here's what I would do. And we'll see what they do. I'm running guys at him in the entire game. I'm not letting Cooper Flagg dictate this game on Saturday and just allowing him to. Mike, he can beat everybody one-on-one. Guys, he was beating the NBA pros one-on-one. You're not going to defend him that way. So I got to run guys at him, and Mike, cross my fingers that these other guys don't hit shots. That's what I think they're going to do, but Duke is so balanced, I don't necessarily know if that's going to work. So
yeah, and it seems like with Bruce Pearl, we talked on Friday that maybe Auburn, like they look like they peaked like the third week in February, and it was like, well, what are they playing for? And they got a little sloppy at times, but it seems like they got their mojo back. And as long as Broome is good to go, then, but man, the way that right arm was hanging, that's when he made that three. Like, how the hell did he pull that one off?
Yeah, it was ugly, man. What do you guys think? We'd love to hear from you. Text us at 404-726-0929. Poll questions up, by the way, in regards to the Braves. You can go help us figure it out. I said the Braves are in trouble. We're just not scoring runs. It was an embarrassing weekend. Let's be honest. I mean, nobody expected this to happen and for us to get beat down the way we did when you have 22 scoreless innings. 22 in a four-game set?
Yeah, as we know, guys, it is never, you know, it's a long season. You never want to get all panicky. But again, because you just lost four in a row, and now, oh, by the way, you're playing the Dodgers, you know, who are like literally, I mean, the superstar squad, you know, they're fourth best pitchers, our second best, right?
Easy.
So, you know, you got the Dodgers. You could very easily start this season, you know, or, you know. Somebody hit me over the number. I tried to verify this. I can't find it. Carl and I were looking during the commercial break. Some guy hit us up on Twitter and said that nobody started 0-6 and won a World Series.
Okay, so that means we have to win a game in this series.
We started 0-4, obviously, but maybe you don't remember. We started 0-4 in 2021, and Acuna got hurt later on, and we still won the World Series. So, guys, it's not. Let's get all of this crap out of our system. Let Matt Olson start the whole. Let Matt Olson go 0 for April. And 0 for May, as long as he finishes strong and he doesn't start getting when we get into the best of five. Because that's what happened. We seem to get so tight at the wrong time. So I'm not sweating this yet. It's just, yes, it's potentially a very ugly start because you're going up against two great teams to start the season on the West Coast swing.
Hold on. Let me look and see. Oh, the Dodgers are 5-0, Mike.
Yes.
They have yet to lose a game.
Yes.
And it's going to be Tyler Glass now against who? Grant Holmes tonight? Is that right?
Really, there's nothing you can do but handle it.
Oh. He's bounding down. Now, another thing, we'll get into this later in the program.
Come on, Grant.
It's a big show.
Come on, Grant.
5 hours. Let's go, Kenny Powers. But you and I brought this up. And, guys, this is the same thing we talked about the Hawks a couple years ago. Some dudes in our audience don't vibe it, but the leadership thing. When the chips are down, if this team does struggle, goes 1-6, whatever it's going to be, who's the guy that picks them up in that clubhouse?
Wait a minute. If we're 0-6, are you already saying a closed-door meeting?
I'm just saying, who's going to call it, Carl? Because you got no Eric Young. And he's a coach. He's all out in area. And, again, you got, let's be honest, you got the dudes that were the OGs, well, back in the day that aren't there anymore. Nothing against Snit, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Are you already calling for a closed-door meeting?
No. That'd be silly.
I mean, we're less than a week into the season?
That would be sports talk hyperbole to say we need a closed-door meeting. But if we did, who'd call it? Because Ron Washington, he ain't here no more. And by the way, neither is Travis Darno because he's with Ron Washington.
That's right.
And neither is Freddie because you're going to see him. He's also in Los Angeles.
You don't put the glasses over the A or the eye black.
And when we asked Monty Harris a few weeks ago, who's the team leader? 1001, 1002.
We did ask
him. It was a pregnant pause before he said, well, we got a bunch of guys, you know, do the stuff in the thing.
Stuff in the thing.
So I'm a little nervous about that. Hopefully we won't start like that.
All right, guys. I want to give you a chance to go check out our Braves. All right? Braves tickets right now just for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate you listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. You're going to go Saturday, April 5th. Now, do not call and win these tickets if you can't go Saturday, April 5th.
Don't be a prize pig.
Okay? Two tickets. Check that. Four.
Oh.
A family four-pack to go see the Braves versus the Marlins Saturday, April 5th at Truist Park. Let's go call it 10, Turtle. Call it 10. All right? 404-726-0929. We've got your tickets right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man's on the way.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, we got a busy week, by the way. We are hitting the road. Thanks to our buddies at Buffalo's Cafe. We're going to be at the store in Cumming off of 400 all the way up. And we have not been coming to Cumming in a while. So people live by the lake or up in that neck of the woods, come by and see us, man. We had a blast. We were doing the show, as we said, up in Chattanooga 2 weeks back. And that was pretty wild to have folks show up and listen and hear us up in that neck of the woods. Going to be a lot of fun. And then coming up on Friday, home opener, a reminder, guys, join us at Murph's right there at Cobb Galleria, and we'll walk over the bridge and catch the game.
Gonna be a lot of fun, man. And Murph's gonna join us too. A couple of other baseball guests, so make sure you join us. Connor Riley's on the way. We're gonna talk to him.
I'm gonna grill him
about what?
Well, more guys are leaving.
Oh,
Coach White, what did you accomplish?
Nothing. Yeah, no doubt. Connor's on the way. We'll talk about dogs and obviously spring ball and all of that is on the way. Right now, though, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today? How you doing, my man?
First of all, I'd like to give a healthy shout-out to our buddy Keaton Call, who just won himself some Braves tickets going to the game.
Thank you, Keaton.
He's from Powder Springs. We appreciate you listening. We got more tickets to give away later in the show as well. If you are a fan of rock and roll, you're going to get to go see Ghost, so stay tuned for that. All right, guys, I've had it. It's enough.
What?
We got to get rid of it.
What?
These damn remakes of movies have hit an all-time low.
What'd they remake now?
The girlfriend wanted to go see the remake of Snow White this week.
You were the people who saw it.
Yeah.
The three people that saw it,
yeah. It has like a 20% score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's getting absolutely panned.
It's not animated.
It's not animated.
Okay, no. Live action car. Now, Rachel Zegler.
The two-star actors, or no, we don't say actors anymore. That's sexist. But the two-star actors in the movie, basically,
I can't say actresses.
It's actor.
Oh, okay.
As you know, Carlos, to say actress is demeaning. It's silly. But it's very funny because they did basically everything in their power to alienate a lot of the fan base and torpedo the film through some of the things they've said on social media, one way or the other. So the studio's already, Disney's basically, Disney has the reverse of the Midas touch. Everything Disney, from Star Wars to Snow White, they've turned to.
What was said on social media, guys?
We don't have to say that, Carl.
There's a lot of stuff.
You can look it up.
There's really?
Yeah, it's like that.
Oh. The two actresses hate actors, don't like each other.
Actresses?
You can't say actress anymore.
Oh, okay.
It got to the point, man, where like I think it was either like a director or a producer like went and like flew and publicly chastised one of the actors because of what was said before the movie came out.
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay, Chris. A lot of stuff. Did you guys hold hands and walk out of this movie together?
Well, we had to be in solidarity over something after seeing that hot garbage. Guys.
No, I mean, did you leave before the movie was over?
Did you split before it
Oh,
it ended?
No.
So you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, you paid
so then it wasn't that bad?
No, I mean, for me.
If it was that bad, you should have left.
I did it for her.
Rotten Tomatoes, an embarrassing train wreck. Variety, disaster. These are some of the headlines, by the way, when you Google stuff.
And also, instead of making the Seven Dwarfs real characters, they CGI'd them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
So when the woman playing Snow White, Carl, says that the film is extremely dated when it comes to the ideas of women being roles of power.
Oh, okay. Chris, maybe they couldn't find any small people to play those roles.
Carl, there's a plethora
Hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, unemployment ain't that high, Carl. Come on, man.
Listen, instead of getting in trouble, let's just CGI these small people. I'm using the right nomenclature, right?
Is it little people?
What's the proper nomenclature? It's not the M word.
Do we call them
dwarfs? Can't say that.
They're dwarfs in the movie, though, the seven dwarfs.
Yes, those are small people.
Right.
They're small individuals, right?
When they're not playing the dwarfs, yes.
That's my guess. So they just CGI'd these folks in.
Yes. Yeah. And it stuck out like a sore thumb. The acting was, I mean, I love Gal Gadot. Who doesn't? I mean, she was nice to look at, as she always is. But
that's why you wanted to go.
I mean, at the same time, she was so ham and eggy with this over-the-top acting. It just was, it was so bad.
Okay.
And they already butchered my favorite movie, The Lion King, by trying to do this.
Oh, they should have never
touched that. They never should have brought that back.
I know.
No, there's only one original.
It was so bad.
Let me ask you this, by the way. So what you end up getting out of this, taking her to the movies and it being such a sucky movie?
Yeah. Why do you have to use that word?
I'm sorry?
Why do you have to use that word?
Oh, I'm just saying. You didn't enjoy it. She didn't. What ended up, what was in it for you?
I'll let you follow whatever rabbit hole you want to go down with that.
Where'd you go see about it? What's your theater? As Carl would say.
Madison Yards.
Nice. Right. Where's that? Yeah.
It's a really nice theater. I mean,
where's that Madison Yards?
Pop, but it's about, I'd say, a good 15 minutes from here, literally down Peachtree.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, it's really, really close. Wouldn't recommend it. That's the bottom line.
That's obvious.
It's an unmitigated disaster, this movie,
basically.
Wouldn't
recommend it.
By the way, sidebar, and Oren jumping on this, have you ever walked out of a movie? And if so, what was the last movie you walked out on?
Oh, that's a good one. I know we did. I'm trying to remember the movie we walked out of.
The only reason I have this fresh in my mind, I follow a lot of film and movie guys on social media, on Twitter, where the question was asked. The last one I walked out of is, remember, you got to see Halle Berry topless in Swordfish.
Oh, yeah, Swordfish.
And that Swordfish movie was so bad. After I saw that, I like...
Travolta, right?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm out of here. My date at the time was like, yeah, this movie's the god-awful thing. Let's get out of here.
I'm trying to remember. Now you got me thinking about this.
I remember mine. It was 2007. I thought it was going to be great because of the two-star actors, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. It was called Bucket List.
Wait a minute. That's a good movie on HBO.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, there's nothing else on.
Right. Yeah. It's where they're both dying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. All right.
Year one, 2009, with Jack Black and Michael Cera. I think Harold Ramis did it, and the cast was amazing. It was this big ensemble cast.
Who was it?
It was like the whole, they told the story of like creation and the Bible and things like that.
Oh my God.
But it was so bad. It was so bad. Like if you see the cast list, you would go, how is this
it's
movie?
Called Year One?
It's called Year One.
It's so bad. I don't even remember.
Oh, I know what it was. You know what? I know what it was.
Like Hank Azaria was it? Like it had an amazing cast and it was so bad.
I think I know what it was.
So bad.
Did you see the follow? I think it was the follow up. My sister, I'm trying to remember now because this is how far back it goes. Prince did a movie, was Raspberry Beret or something
Under
like that?
Under the Cherry Moon.
Under the Cherry Moon.
Terrible.
It was in black and white.
It was the one after.
I saw that movie.
After Purple Rain,
That's the one. My sister, we read it.
Because you're thinking
out.
You're going to get Purple Rain.
And you didn't get anything.
And it's very aesthetic. Yes. And it's all. By the way, Year One gets an official 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And Harold Ramis did it. I was like, man, it's got Harold. Like, Harold Ramis can do no wrong. God bless his soul.
Yeah,
he missed
true.
On that one. He all missed right. on that one.
Well, Turtle, I didn't like this the Snow White movie because they couldn't find any small people, but that's just me. What else you got for us?
I'm glad that's where you're putting a hill to die on. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right, Aaron Rodgers is stirring the pot once again.
Actresses?
No.
I'm just saying. Mike's, I'm really? Actresses?
Actors.
Okay.
You know, and it's funny, and you know where they bring it up, and it's kind of funny. You've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, when you've got the DiCaprio character is on the movie set of the TV show they're doing, and the young actress is loosely based on a young Jodie Foster.
Yes,
and she's reading the book, and she's like, "Well, it's not actress, it's actor." You know, it's actually people that are actors. You don't say it's just they're all actors.
Okay,
actress is sexist today. I've learned.
All right.
All right.
So. I'm just telling you.
I want to be clear.
And after my, you know, how I am with being accused of being sexist, the last thing I want to do is do that again. Back to you, Chris.
Aaron Rodgers, who I would think considers himself a bit of a thespian,
yes.
Was spotted.
Thespian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a feminist.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
I thought you said thespian, which kind of confuses two things.
No. Thespian. Was seen reportedly throwing to DK Metcalf over the weekend, according to Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network.
Wait, isn't he with the Steelers now?
They were at the UCLA campus. That's right, Carl. Mm. So is this adjacent, in your opinion, to Kirk Cousins going to a Chipotle in Cleveland? Aaron Rodgers throwing to DK Metcalf at UCLA.
Also a barbecue restaurant as well in Avon.
Couldn't find another receiver in the NFL to throw it.
Has Justin Jefferson come by for a catch yet either?
Yeah. Yeah, man, no man. Is this something? Is this nothing?
Well, first of all, he hasn't really been seen anywhere, right? We're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he was seen on the beach with a blanket.
Or the towel.
And
contemplating his future?
Looking very pensive.
Okay. I mean, he hasn't been seen anywhere outside of that. And now you're telling me all of a sudden he's been spotted on the campus of UCLA throwing to DK Metcalf. Do you think that's a coincidence?
There are no such thing as coincidence.
Correctamundo.
Well, I mean, so just sign in the line. And I know I feel like if you're a Pittsburgh fan, if you're a Falcons, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop with Cleveland. I kind of would like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would go to Minnesota if Minnesota will have you. Because then you can stick it to Green Bay twice a year. You probably got a better squad. They got offense that can go do some things. I don't know.
I don't know why Minnesota is being so non-committal about this. They just refuse to go one way or the other. One day Rodgers is in the mix. The next day it's J.J. McCarthy's job. The next day J.J. McCarthy's fat. We don't know what's going on there.
Well, as I said, talking to
ESPN.com,
I mentioned this last hour with Carl. Kevin O'Connell, quote, real dialogue with Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean I doubt J.J. McCarthy. Sure it doesn't.
Yeah, like what does that mean? You either trust J.J. McCarthy and he's your quarterback of the future, or he's not.
You got a 4-time NFL MVP who's also a major pain in the arse, and you got a guy who looked good in preseason before he got injured, but is still an unproven entity.
Yeah.
There was a report that lost traction because the Aaron Rodgers stuff then apparently went off the table. That was saying that McCarthy would request a trade if they.
Yeah,
bring in Aaron.
Yeah, I saw that on NFL Network.
Oh, he should. I mean, listen, I'm the 10th in the draft, right? Yeah. That he came in.
Yep.
Last year, I'm injured. I understand I can't play. I am healthy now, and I feel like I've shown you enough that I should be the starter. If I'm him, I'm he's right. Now you're talking about me waiting on the bench for at least two more years, because Aaron's not going to come there, guys, and play 1 year. He's going to do exactly what he did with the Jets. He wants to be there at least two. And if it works, Mike, he might play till he's 45 like Brady did. Who knows?
Right.
All right. Sad news today out of those of us, Mike. I know you're a big fan of this show as well. Good Morning Football losing another one of its members. Peter Schrager announced today he is leaving. The speculation is he's going to ESPN to join their ranks of NFL insiders.
Such a good dude. He was an intern for 790, Carl, back in the day.
Yeah, I've heard you guys talk about it.
Yeah, and he's really good on the air.
Went to Emory, right?
Yep.
Him and Kyle Brandt are like brothers on the set.
It's a shame, man. I love that. It's one of my favorite things, my morning routine, to wake up and watch that show. I love the vibe.
No, he does a great job.
I always love it when, and nothing against the late guys, but when Burleson was on there a couple years ago, that was a perfect show.
Yeah. I also think, too, when NFL Network decided to move, which folks may or may not know about, they basically shut down the East Coast headquarters and basically said everybody's got to move to the West Coast. Mm. And it turned off a lot of the talent and said, hey, wait a minute. You know, I got to take my family. I got to move. And it became a big deal because they had this big studio that they were not using. Long story short, I think that has played a huge role in the losses that they've had at NFL Network. And I'm just, you know, behind the scenes. But we wish him nothing but the best, man. Wherever he ends up, he's going to be great. And he's got a lot of contacts, a good insider, and he gives great knowledge.
With all of the, real quick before we get out of here, consolidation going on in sports TV and media, do you feel like shows like that are now of yesteryear, or is there a chance they can still thrive? Where it's more of a appointment television, come watch for the personalities, as opposed to, as Mike also likes to complain about, the bland sports center anchor of 2025.
Mm. Yeah,
he's not the same guy.
Nothing. I can't do ESPN in the morning. That all that stuff turns me off. I just like first off, they don't take themselves too seriously. It's fun. They got good guests.
True.
That's why I love the NFL. You know, Good Morning Football. That's one of my go tos. But yeah, you're chipping away at what made it great, unless they can reinvent itself.
I agree. I don't know. I don't think it's dead. I just think you have to find the right mix.
Right.
Of individuals and personalities. You know, we talk about this all the time. The gold standard is what Shaq, Ernie,
right,
Kenny, and Charles do. right? If you find the right mixture, it can work, and it still gets people's attention. But you're just throwing random people in there and saying, oh, this will work, and then you realize it doesn't, and the ratings start to decline, and people are not watching. But we'll see what happens with that show. Because Nate was on that show, right?
Yeah, Nate bankrolled that into a national broadcast. He's on the morning on CBS, mm-hmm. and of course he's in studio as well. He's really it's become a springboard. I was kind of surprised that Brandt didn't get the bigger gig before Schrags, because you know Brandt's kind of a little more out, you know, over the top personality wise. But either way.
Yeah, somehow Manti Te'o's wound up on that show.
Yeah, he sure has.
I don't know how that's happened.
Yeah, I'm not the greatest fan.
Why not? He's not talking about his girlfriend?
Nah, it's just nothing against
what, too soon?
No, it didn't bring the juice that they had. Oh, it's just not there. It's just okay. not feeling that.
All right, Oren. 2011 called, and let's hit my music.
Oh, I tell you, you want to get a girl, be a quarterback in Alabama. The old joke for that game, of course, when Alabama smoked Notre Dame, is Alabama beat Notre Dame in every facet, offense, defense, and girlfriend. The quarterback actually had one.
Yeah, they had one. For those who don't remember, Manti Te'o, well, allegedly had one.
That documentary on that was pretty interesting.
It was.
How he was catfish. I mean, God bless him. Well, he's a very, you know, naive kid. Didn't really,
at the time. Yeah.
Wet behind the ears as far as the dating world.
Hey, man, be sure to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this Thursday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead as we get ready for the regional round. Or actually, it's not regional. We're getting ready for the Final Four. But we're going to be out at Twin Peaks on Monday for the national championship. And that's going to be Twin Peaks Kennesaw. As a matter of fact, the Midday guys will be there, and then we'll be there. That's Monday, if you're making plans, literally a week from today, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we're coming back. Connor Riley's going to join us. Mike said he's going to grill him because of Mike White.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed. Like, you got a really slim window at Georgia basketball, and now they're going to have to basically start from scratch.
All right, it's coming up next.